Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Tonight, I wanted to share on the power of words. So I titled my teaching, The Power of Words. And Genesis 1:3 gives us a little bit of a clue into just how powerful words are. It says, "And God said, let there be light." And then he worked a whole bunch of stuff and eventually crafted the light with his hands. No, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God spoke words. He said, let there be light, and there was light. So from the very beginning, God establishes that words have power. In God's case, he literally spoke everything into being. Let there be light, there was light. Let there be this, and there was that. And our words have great power too. But that power can be both healing and destructive. Go to James chapter 3, verse 3. James 3:3. Like the old Spider-Man quote, with great power comes great responsibility, right? So your words can be really helpful and they can be really harmful. And so we have to be responsible for how we use them. James 3:3. It says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Okay, so if you look at all the ropes and straps that are on a horse, they have this little bit in their mouth connected to little straps around their head, and those are connected to reins. And you can move a whole horse, like this 1,000-pound beast, with this little bit that's in their mouth. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever, wheresoever the governor listeth, wherever he wants. So you have these giant ships, like a cruise ship, and they have this tiny little rudder in the back. And they have this tiny little wheel up on the helm. And that tiny little wheel moves this tiny little rudder, and it moves this great big ship in the direction that it wants, that person wants it to go. So these small little things do these great big results. Verse 5, even so, this is what it's being compared to. The tongue is a little member, it's a tiny little thing, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Well, that doesn't sound very good at all. And so this section that James was addressed to, these people were having problems with their words and how they were using them. It's being likened to a deadly poison. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. The similitude of God. So the problem here was that they were claiming to bless God and claiming to say all these wonderful things about the Father, and at the same time they would turn around and say very negative things about their brethren. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So the lesson was this shouldn't be the way that it is. This shouldn't be the way that it is, because the tongue has great power. It can do really great things, it can really build people up, or it can really tear them down. Go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. So James was warning the people, hey, you got to get this under control, because it can be a really big deal in a good way, or it can be a really big deal in a bad way. Proverbs 10, verse 21. So we're going to take a look. Proverbs has a bunch of verses that talk about words. So we're going to be in Proverbs for a bit. Proverbs 10, 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So the lips of the righteous, the words that come from people who are speaking righteously, they're a blessing. They're a nourishment, like food. They feed many. They take care of people. They nourish them. So if our words are coming from a place of righteousness, that's a great blessing. Chapter 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a what?
Sword.
So there's some people that when they talk, it cuts you real deep. Just like Shrek cut Donkey. Real deep. So those words can cut you. They can make you feel terrible. There are some that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. In contrast, the tongue of a wise person, that's health. That's a blessing. The words of wise people can be health, can make you feel great. Verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. Sometimes our hearts get real heavy. We feel bad, or we feel sad, or we feel discouraged, right? A heaviness in your heart can make a man stoop, like they're bent over, hunched over, feeling terrible. But a good word maketh it what?
Glad.
That's right. A good word can be an encouragement. It can be a help when someone's feeling bad or sad or stooped over or heavy. A good word can take care of them, can make them feel great again, can turn that frown upside down. Chapter 18, verse 21. Because words are powerful, right? A great word, when somebody says something so sweet to you and you're feeling terrible, just changes your whole mood. That's pretty powerful. Lots of people take lots of substances to make that happen. So when we think about how powerful our words are, just our words can do that for somebody. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Good stuff and bad stuff. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So those who use the tongue correctly, they're going to eat that fruit, that good fruit. Chapter 15, verse 1. This one I heard a lot as a child. This was a memorized verse. 15, 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up what?
Anger.
That's how powerful they are. If someone is aggravated with you, you have two choices. You can give them a soft answer, or you can give them grievous words. And a soft answer will turn away that wrath. A soft answer will make that person calm down and settle down and not be angry with you anymore. But coming right back at them stirs it up. Stokes the fire, stirs up anger. Someone has a quarrel with you, You can diffuse that situation with words. With words. Or you can make it really terrible and get into a shouting match with them in an argument. It can go either way. Proverbs 16:4. That's not what I want. Oh, there you go. 14. Sorry, 14. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. And that's similar to the soft answer. So when someone's wroth, when someone's mad, it can be like the messenger of death. Because that's what kings would do in those times, right? You made a king angry, it was off with your head. But a wise person knows how to pacify the situation, knows how to diffuse it, knows how to deliver a gracious response. 15 verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And the word wholesome is the word gentle. A gentle tongue is like a tree of life, but perverseness in your tongue is like a breach or a breaking of the spirit. It just cuts you so deep. And then 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. So when we say pleasant words, it's like a sweetness to the soul. It's health to that person's bones. They're so sweet and so healthy. Go to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. This topic must not be very important. God doesn't have a lot to say about it. It's not too many verses that speak of it. I'm struggling to find verses to share with you tonight. That's all hyperbole. There's lots in the Bible about this. It's an important topic. Chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Right? What? A word fitly spoken at the right time is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And that pictures is like a frame. It's like beautiful painting of golden apples surrounded by this frame of silver. It's just this beautiful thing to behold. And that's what a word fitly spoken is like. It just makes you go, ah. Oh. When the right thing is said at the right time, it really just takes care of you. All right, so it's evident that our words can do harm or good, right? We just saw a bunch of verses. They can do good things, they can do bad things. They can be very positive or very negative. So then what's the practical side of knowing this information? Go to Proverbs 21:23. So we always have a choice in what we say. Say a soft answer, or we can say grievous words. We can be wise. So when we say good things too, we didn't touch on that too hard, but when you say good things, the Word of God says that's wise. The Word of God calls that a wise thing to do. We probably should do it. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. The word keep in the Bible is to guard. Okay? To guard. So, or to take care of. So the person who keeps or guards his mouth and his tongue, that he takes care of it, that he's careful with what he says, that person is also going to be keeping or guarding their soul from trouble. When you guard something, you're very mindful of it. You're very careful of it. And so, if you don't want a lot of trouble in your life, if you don't want a lot of, you know, bad stuff coming at you, one of the things you can do is to be mindful of the words you use and the things that you say. Are they good things or are they bad things? Are they soft answers or are they grievous words? Because we want a life that's kept from trouble, right? Go to Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. And that wanteth is like a lack. If you want something, you know, it's because you lack it. So in the multitude of words, there doesn't lack sin. But he that refrains his lips is what? Wise. So running off at the mouth just leads to trouble sometimes. And the practical side of that is to think about what you say before you speak, before you just let loose with an answer, right? Think about what you're going to say. Take a split second to process, what am I about to say? What are its effects likely to be in this situation? Because it's very easy to be impulsive with your words too, right? It's very easy to just react to what's going on and say something and then regret it and then wish you hadn't said it. So the Word of God says that in a multitude of words and just spitting out of the mouth every time, there's not a lack of sin there. Like, bad stuff's going to happen if you don't control that. So, but to keep your tongue, that's a wise thing. To think about it for a minute. Go to Proverbs 18, verse 13. It says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it is a really smart guy, and everybody looks up to him. He's always got the answer ready before you even finish talking. He must be impressive. He that answereth a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. And an answer is a response or a retort. If we are quick to react and we're not careful to listen or consider, it's, God calls that foolish. It's folly. It's a foolish thing. And shame is the result. There's a guy that I work with who constantly interrupts people before they finish saying what they have to say. Constantly. It happens all the time. I'm trying to explain something to him and he interrupts you and interjects with what he thinks you're going to say. And oftentimes he's wrong, and he looks like an idiot. And it's foolish behavior. So to answer something before you've heard the entirety of the matter, that's not a good thing. God wants you to listen and to process and then to think about what your answer is going to be, what your response is going to be. Go to Proverbs 29, verse 20. So we don't want to interrupt people with our words and our interjections. We want to hear the matter. Because then we can speak wisely about it. Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? Have you ever seen a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. So, if you're somebody who's hasty with your words, even a foolish person is better than that. Even a foolish person is better than that. A person who's hasty with their words is more than just foolish, because a foolish person is better than that. They're beyond foolish. So the key is to be patient and to think before you speak. So then that begs the question, what kinds of words are we to be speaking? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Remember that God spoke and things happened. And when you think about it, that same power lies within us. When people speak things, stuff happens. You know? It could just be something really simple. It could be like, I hate you. And what happens from that is that bitterness results and hard-heartedness develops. Or it could be something really terrible like, I declare war. And then you have countries and civilizations fighting each other. But all of that happens because of words. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication. Corrupt communication are the words that literally mean words contrary to the truth. Let no corrupt communication, untruthful words, words that tear down, proceed out of your mouth. But that, instead, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So, this is addressed to us. God doesn't want words that are corrupt. He doesn't want untruthful or words that tear down to come out of our mouths. Instead, because God doesn't always tells you what you should do when he tells you what not to do. But instead, those words that are good to the use of edifying, to building somebody up. Are your words going to be something that blesses somebody and builds them up, makes them happy, takes care of their heart, blesses their soul? Are they words that are going to minister grace to that person when they hear it? That's the kind of words that we should speak. So we should make sure that the words we speak edify somebody, that they build them up. Verse 15 of the same chapter says, but speaking the truth in what?
Love.
In love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We should be speaking the truth. But it doesn't stop there. The verse doesn't say, but speaking the truth. End of sentence. Because the truth isn't where it ends. You can say something that is absolutely 100% true to somebody, but it can be said in a way that's not at all loving, that's not at all edifying, is not at all gracious. It can be the truth, but sometimes the truth hurts. You ever heard that phrase before? The truth hurts. Well, that's true. Sometimes it does. So we want to make sure that when we speak the truth, we speak it in love. In love. Because sometimes people do need to hear the truth, right? Sometimes you do need to reprove somebody and tell them when they're being off the word, but you want to do it in love, right? You want to do it in love. Because speaking the truth itself is just not where it ends. It's speaking the truth in love. You want to make sure, verse 29, that the words are edifying and that they minister grace. Right? So we want to speak God's word to people, for sure. That's a great thing, but we want to do it with wisdom. Go to Proverbs 15:23. And sometimes we do need to say difficult things to people. Sometimes it's hard to tell someone when they're not doing something right. And the reason it's hard is because we love them and we don't want them to feel bad. And sometimes when you get reproved, it pricks your heart and you do feel bad for a little bit. But we should always want to make sure we are helping one another. Sometimes people need to hear the truth, but we should just do it with love. Proverbs 15:23. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are what?
Established.
Established. In a multitude of counselors, they are established. So sometimes you need to get another person involved too, if you need to say something to somebody. Maybe before you just go off and decide it's your job to reprove and correct somebody, you talk to somebody else. Say, hey, you know, this is what I'm thinking. Get a second opinion on it too. If you feel like you're not sure how to deliver that message, right? Because we can help each other. And sometimes it just might mean that we take care of each other. But in a multitude of counselors, they are established, right? If you're hearing this, if you're on the receiving end and you're hearing the same word of God from a bunch of different people, maybe it's time to listen, right? Maybe it's time to listen. And go to Colossians 4, verse 6. So we should remember that our words, just like God's words, they're powerful. They have power. They can end in great results, good or bad. And we want to be wise about how we use them. It says in Colossians 4, 6, "Let your speech be always with grace." Always with grace. Seasoned with salt, that it's truth, right? When you take a salt covenant with somebody, you're saying that what you spoke, what you vowed together is true. So let your words be gracious and let them be truthful, right? We don't want to lie. We don't want to be dishonest. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So God wants us to think carefully about what we say before we say it, and how we say it, so that we deliver words that are gracious, that are edifying, that build people up, and that take care of people. Okay?